Blog Talk Radio.
Yep, and there you go. And with that sound, that means that the Frat House Sports Garage is open again as normal on a Sunday morning after a rare week off last week. Yeah, All-Star race last week. We took that as a week off. So, but the garage back open again this morning as we are, well, we're here on a holiday weekend, Memorial Day weekend. And that can only mean one thing. That means that later on this evening, we've got the Coca-Cola 600. And listen, it's one of the better races. It's one of the highlight races of the entire season. So I look forward to this one every year, coming right on the heels of the Indy 500. Amazing, though, you know, 2 weeks off. Boy, doesn't it seem like it's been a heck of a lot longer? It sure does to me, anyhow. I mean, I had to sit here and putting this program together. I had to sit here and kind of refresh my memory. What in the world did exactly happen 2 weeks ago in Kansas? Well, we had another two-time winner. That's for sure. We saw that take place. But in many respects, it was kind of overshadowed by, wow, one of those wrecks that kind of just takes your breath away. Lap 201 involving three vehicles. And when you ultimately hear the audio again, which I do have, it's one of those eerie ones that don't happen too often where shortly thereafter it all took place, everything gets very, very silent. We've all been through a couple of those at different times that you've seen. This one 2 weeks ago was actually one of those. And unfortunately, Eric Almirola ended up taking the brunt of it and now finds himself out of the car for the next 8 to 12 weeks with a fractured back. I'll tell you right now, though, in seeing it, it could have been a heck of a lot worse. Three vehicles involved, Joey Logano, Danica Patrick, and Eric Almirola. It was pretty horrific. Flames flying everywhere, cars jumping up into the air. It was not the kind of wreck you're kind of used to seeing at Kansas, I will say that. But mercifully, no one seriously hurt. As I pointed out, Almirola suffering a fractured back. And out for quite a few weeks. I'll tell you, though, it was interesting as it all took place, of course, then you get the post-race interviews. I got to say this. I saw it live. I didn't say anything at the time, but I got to be honest, I was squirming a bit. Danica Patrick's post-wreck interview was a wreck itself, in my opinion. I mean, seriously, absolutely incredible. You're going to get the chance to hear that audio as well. I'm going to be looking forward to getting the opinion from the rest of the mechanics here today. But she got absolutely skewered by fans, and some of them diehard Danica fans, across social media, following her post-race or post-rec, I guess really that's what we would have to call it, post-rec interview. No help for her. Trust me, she got no points, no extra points for that little appearance, for sure. Of course, recent static from her about, maybe I might want to retire. I might want to think about walking away from this. Oh, I'll tell you something. She should have walked away before the interview, in my opinion. So we'll touch on that. We also had an incident. It was rather interesting. I'll be curious also to get the rest of the mechanics' thoughts on this one as well. We had a kind of a sponsorship. I had to go back and remind myself on this one. We had a sponsorship faux pas, I guess, if you want to call it that, at Kansas 2 weeks ago. Carl Long returned to the Cup racing for the first time. I think it's in about 8 years. He might not be coming back again for a little while. I don't know. Shows up with a sponsor all over the hood of his car. Big, enormous cannabis plant. Yeah. NASCAR didn't take kindly to it. They had him remove that. Really? This sport that's dying for sponsors, I don't know what to say. I'm going to be curious to get everybody else's thoughts on that one. Talking sponsors, listen, we've had a Nature's Bakery sighting. Yeah, you remember them? They used to be all over Danica Patrick's car. Well, they kind of disappeared this past year. That's because they've been involved in a lawsuit with Stuart Haas Racing. Ah, not so fast. Hold on. You might be seeing them show up on a Stuart Haas car yet. We'll touch on that one as well. And as I pointed out today, we are at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So we'll take a look at where things stand. Take a look at what the qualifying order looks like. And, of course, we'll get everybody's thoughts on where things are going to go today in the Coca-Cola 600. All right? If anybody wants to jump in with us here today, please don't hesitate. Love to hear from you. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here at the Frat House Sports Garage. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can leave us a message in the Blog Talk Radio chat room or hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me on Twitter at Frat House Mike. All right, give me a follow while you're over there. I'd be more than happy to bring your comments to the air if you want to chat that way, or we can just converse over there. Or, like I said, I'll bring your comments to the air. Well, anyhow, let's start getting the rest of the mechanics in here, and we'll get Brandon in. Brandon, how are we doing this morning?
Oh, not too bad. Getting ready for a big day of racing.
Yeah, got the Indy. I was checking the times on that. I think that starts at noon or just thereafter. So we'll be
go green while we're on the air. Yep.
Yeah, I was gonna say we'll just be concluding here and. We got India, and then we've got the Coca-Cola 600 at 6:18 is what they're calling for as far as the flag dropping on that one. I'll tell you though, it seems like 2 weeks, it seems longer, doesn't it? I don't know where.
I'm sorry there. If you said something, it cut out me.
What's okay, you're cutting in and out now.
It was cutting in and out on me when you were talking there, so I kind of didn't quite get everything you were saying, probably.
Oh, okay. I was just saying it seems like it's been longer than 2 weeks, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, it does seem like it's been away. And, you know, we didn't have any Xfinity races for 3 weeks. And, you know, they just came back yesterday. So, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of racing, really, you know, outside of the All-Star race, which I thought got over relatively quickly from what I remember in past years. I don't know if they just didn't have as many accidents or if they shortened it a little bit somehow. You know, they change the rules on it every year, so, you know, it's hard to keep track. But I kind of remember that going later into the night And everything was done by like 9 o'clock Eastern. So I'm like, I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah, but anyway. I was saying on the Saturday, on my Saturday show last week, you know, I don't know. I just can't get into, but see, I'm not one for in any sport with the exception of baseball. Baseball's the only one, but I just don't get into the All-Star race at all. The one thing I did happen to notice about that All-Star race, boy, for some reason or another, it got really panned in the media. People were complaining that it was just flat out boring. I don't know. Like you said, I don't know what the rules were. And as you pointed out, they seemingly change the rules constantly on the thing. So I don't know if that was the problem, but that was the complaint, was that it was a yawner.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
yeah, it was kind of ho-hum. There was no real, there's always been, you know, with the All-Star race, there's generally been some kind of controversy, some drivers taking each other out. You know, this one was kind of just, and it's over.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything. Have you heard anything from Sidekick? Are you?
I have not, but I think Sidekick went on a motorcycle trip yesterday, and I don't know if the holiday weekend has him all changed up, but I don't know if he realized or even thought about, you know, where he'd be during the showtime today. So I don't know. Maybe he'll show up. Maybe he won't.
Oh, well, that's, if he does it, that's unfortunate because we've got a heavy dose of Danica coming here momentarily. Anyhow.
Oh, no.
Anyhow. excuse me. Let me get Christian Colley in here. Christian, it's been a couple of weeks. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. We're enjoying a wonderful sitting in bed watching pre-race for the Indy 500. So.
Oh, well,
you're
ready
to head to the wonderful Charlotte Motor Speedway and get ready to cover the longest race of the year.
And so tell us real quick before we get into things, because it has been a couple of weeks since we've had you on. How things going over at On Pit Road, onpitroad.com. Check them out and everything that Christian's doing and the rest of the crew over there, onpitroad.com. How are things going over there?
We're doing well. I've kind of been sporadic most few weeks, but the Xfinity Series has been off, and that's my main series. So yesterday we came back with the Xfinity race in Charlotte, and very good race, except for one stage. And altogether, we're doing good. We're covering almost everything. So we're getting a lot more views, and we're hoping to get more views. So can never have enough views. So we're looking forward to covering today's greatest day of motorsports, and ready to get some Indy 500 racing underway, and we're ready to get some Coca-Cola 600 racing underway.
Good job. And everybody, like I said, if everybody's out there, onpitroad.com, simple to find. Get over there and check our friends out over there and everything that they're covering. Want to get your thoughts real quick. I didn't see it, as you probably just heard. I admitted to it. I don't have any problem admitting to it. I'm not a big one for the All-Star race. Complaints that I had heard and read out of the media, I'm just curious what, being somebody in the media, what you were hearing. But some of the complaints I heard was that the All-Star race was a yawner. You want to respond to that? I'm just curious.
I watched the recording of the Indianapolis 500, or the Indianapolis 500. I watched the recording of the All-Star race on Monday. And all I got to say is, Kyle Busch did great. Everything was great for him, and but everybody else was pretty bad. I mean, unless you took the lead at the beginning of the stage, you didn't do anything the whole day. My opinion of it was rather boring.
Everything's great,
but I don't really know exactly. I don't really know what can be done. I mean, it was a rather boring race. I mean, I don't think you're going to see the same thing today, though. I think today you're going to see a wreckfest. Just my prediction. But last week's race was rather boring, and I think it could have been a lot better, but it wasn't. So
You know, and I got to be honest with you, when I read reports like that, see reports like that, and we know that we're going through kind of a transition here at this point, you know, with Monster Energy taking over and it appearing at least that this is kind of a trial balloon, perhaps maybe for Monster Energy, it starts to make you wonder and think, boy, oh boy, could this relationship be short-lived? You know, that's the only thing that I got to be honest. That's the only thing that kind of crosses my mind with it. Like I said, I didn't watch it. I don't go in much for all-star exhibitions in just about any sport. But I don't know. That's the only thing that comes to my mind anyhow was one more thing one more negative thing, you know, that kind of comes up that you wonder whether Monster is going to be looking at and going, you know, I don't know if this is just don't know if this is worth it.
No, one thing I will tell you, from the All-Star race till the 600 this week, is the track decided to put a groove worth of VTX in that sticky traction compound. So, and the race, as Christian pointed out yesterday, I watched most of the Xfinity race. As a matter of fact, I think I watched it all, and I thought it was an entertaining race. I thought there was enough passing. I think, you had a couple cup guys at the end, you know, fighting for the win, which you don't like to see so much in that series. But, you know, it was a good race. And the cars were – some people were working on the higher side. Some were working on the low side. I think they put the compound actually in the dead middle of the groove. So, you know, it should make for an interesting race today. You know, it's something you're seeing them do more and more to try to, you know, get the – you know, promote the action, get some more traction to the, you know, tires to the asphalt, you know, better so that they can, do a little bit more. And I think it, you know, it's worked at Bristol. I think it's, from what I've seen here, it put on, like I said, a really nice, I thought it was a really good Busch race or Xfinity race yesterday. And, I'm looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, I did read that as well, that they were doing that, and like you said, we saw good results when they did that at where was it? You say Bristol, right?
Bristol, yeah. They did that at Bristol, you know, trying to, promote the, you know, get a little bit more compound, get it easier to get the cars to the ground, kind of deal. I mean, let's face it, it's not something we haven't seen in racing before. I mean, they treat almost every surface anymore with something. I mean, NHRA uses VXT like it's, you know, water, you know, to get enough compound to keep them things, you know, having traction. And we've seen similar things on dirt.
Joseph Newgarden has a 20-1.
Anyway, yeah, we've seen that on some dirt races. I didn't know what's going on there. Anyway. All right. That's we'll see how that, you know, helps the track today.
Yep. All right. Well, let's go back in time here. 2 weeks ago, we were at Kansas Speedway.
We were. I already forgot.
We were.
That.
I know. It seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? But anyhow, Martin Truex ends up getting the win. Now, that's his second win. That's his second win. So we now have 3 2-time winners. Brad Keselowski, obviously one of them. Jimmy Johnson and Martin Truex, all with 2 wins each. Martin Truex gets it. Came in second in stage one and third in stage two. Brad Keselowski came in second. Kevin Harvick, third. Ryan Blaney, fourth. Kyle Busch came in fifth. Kyle Larson came in sixth. Daniel Suarez came in seventh. Remind me, guys, I want to bring Daniel Suarez up again. Jamie McMurray came in eighth. Clint Bowyer, ninth. And Trevor Bayne, tenth. I was pleased to see it. I mean, I'm always okay when Martin Truex wins. I really like Martin Truex, and I, you know, to me, Martin Truex kind of reminds me of the same kind of ilk that Carl Edwards was. You can't not like him. You know what I mean? There's something likable about Martin Truex Jr. You know, people hate and vilify Kyle Busch. I understand why. Jimmy Johnson. Even Dale, the haters, that really hate Dale Jr. really hate Dale Jr. So there are certain ones out there that people just absolutely hate. And I got it. Okay. No problem. We're not big fans of Ryan Newman here. Martin Truex, it would seem to me, you don't hear haters on him because he's like a Carl Edwards, right, Brandon?
Yeah, I think if you look at the history, though, of Martin Truex, there's a little bit of, people feel bad for the guy. He's kind of had a – he kind of got raw deals a couple times, you know. His girlfriend is, you know, a cancer survivor, and they kind of went through that publicly. So, you know, I think it endears him to the general public. You know, the whole crap about, you know, him losing his ride at Michael Waltrip Racing, you know, really had nothing of his doing at all. And he really took the brunt of that whole deal. I mean, he was Napa's front man, essentially, in NASCAR. He was he had the good deal and all that, you know, that the ride, everything went away all because, you know, his teammates were playing games in the background. And,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
It really wouldn't have, you know, it didn't affect Truex. Truex had nothing to do with it, and Truex was the one who got hosed. So, you know, I think a lot of fans, they remember that kind of thing if somebody gets, you know, a raw deal somehow. And, you know, maybe that a lot of people started rooting for him. And then you know, he ends up going to a big dollar team and, you know, brings that team up to prominence. I mean, let's face it, that's got to be one of the best rides in the garage right now, you know. If you can't get in on Gibbs or Stuart Haas or Hendrick, you know, and you have a chance to drive for front row or furniture row, you couldn't turn that down, you know? So, you know, I think he's overcome a lot, and he's really not a bad guy. He's not a bad guy on the track. He never did anything wrong in any of those controversies. You know, he was just the victim. So I think that's probably why you see, you know, the average fan, you know, okay, yeah, we're good. Martin Truex, you go ahead, you know, we'll cheer for you. That's
yep.
all. I think that's why. And he's shown talent. I mean, he won a couple races in that 56 Napa car for MWR. Now he's won even more, you know, for Furniture Row. So he's proven to be a good driver.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
I
like I said, I was pleased with it. The big story, I guess, though, in this race, and in many respects, and somehow or another, it seems to go this way for Truex as well. There was another race where this sort of thing happened, where his win was overshadowed by some other things that occurred in the race. I'm trying to remember which race that was. It was one recently, but a little bit overshadowed by the big wreck in lap 200 or 201.
Mm-hmm.
Which started out as Joey Logano getting involved with Danica Patrick. Well, that would have been bad enough as it was going, but then Arik Almirola came in from behind at a high rate of speed and couldn't avoid the collision as well. His car ends up practically up off the ground in flames. It was an absolute mess. Ultimately, Cruz had to come out and they had to cut Almirola out of the car in order to get him out through the roof. And he suffered a fractured back. this is one of those ones, as I pointed out, leading into the show, we don't, you know, you see big wrecks like this every once in a while. I mean, really, really big ones that kind of take your breath away. Mercifully, they're few and far between, the ones that are like that, that take your breath away. But it's weird. Maybe it's because of the red flag situation. Maybe that's what it is. But it's weird because
what
when
did
you
it
get
for
this,
me was the fire. You know, the you don't often see the fireballs anymore, you know, on the tracks like you've seen with that wreck. You know, and Amarola just came flying in at an unbelievable speed.
Yeah.
Into the already bad wreck. I mean, it was already a pretty scary looking wreck, you know, for the most part. And then you have Amarola, you know, who I don't know if his spotter was telling him the wrong thing or what, but maybe he had a separate problem with his brakes and couldn't slow down. I mean, there was some speculation that, you know, it looked like he had a tire down already, you know, at one point, you know, that maybe he couldn't stop. That's why he came barreling into him so hard. So, you know, it was scary. I mean, the one you really had were worried about in the impact was Danica. Danica's car just took a beating, and she got right out and, you know, went on to give a pretty, as you talked earlier about a little odd interview coming out of, I too was kind of questioning some of that. But anyway, her car looked the worst, and, you know, I was worried about her for a minute.
Yeah, because she kind of got, her car kind of got sandwiched against the wall by Logano to begin with. And then Almirola comes up from behind and kind of sideswipes her at the same time flying into the rear of Logano. So you had this, you know, combination of all kinds of collisions going on. But as, you know, like I said, I don't know. I've got the audio here, and I'm going to play it 1 second, of the actual race as it took place on the track. And as I pointed out, what's strange about it, and I don't know if it's because of the red flag situation or what have you, but I've been here before where you've got that big, big wreck that you, like I said, that you don't normally see that often. But you got the big, enormous wreck, and all of a sudden, everything gets really, really quiet. I mean, like, real quiet. And that almost makes it more eerie, is when it gets really quiet. Like I said, I don't know if that's simply because of the fact it's a, you know, it's a red flag situation, because, of course, generally the really, really serious ones, you know, that's what'll happen. You get the red flag. But you hear it. You'll get the sense of what I'm talking about. This is the audio as it took place from this big wreck. And just I think you get a sense of what I'm talking about. You hear the announcers talking, but you don't really hear anything else going on underneath. And that's in the aftermath of this. Give this a listen.
Getting crowded up there in the front right now with the 42. Oh,
whoa,
trouble.
Big, big crash.
Danica Patrick and Joey Logano.
Oh, man.
Eric Almirola.
Holy smoly.
Oh, heavy, heavy damage there on Danica.
Those cars are killed. And Almirola piling in at the last second and going up in the air. Patrick
Danica's
quickly
out
of her car.
Boy, she's out in a hurry.
Woo. No kidding, the thing was on fire.
And looking rather upset. Joey Logano's car is not going to make it back to the garage. Neither is Eric Almirola. The window net down on both of those cars. Signal to the safety crews, the driver is okay. Now, Patrick and Logano were 11th and 12th. Almirola was back in 23rd. Cars stopped at the entrance of turn one.
Let's see what happened here, guys.
Oh, man. It looked like the 22 just got loose.
I think that...
Oh, man. What a ride that Danica went
Danica
on.
Danica took a heck of a ride into the wall, and then the 43 just plowed in there.
Yeah, he had nowhere to go. I think he committed to the outside lane. Pretty big impact by the 43. As you could see, Almirola sitting in his car. He hadn't quite gotten out of the car yet.
Eric Jones right behind him. Right behind Logano. Oh,
something
wow,
broke.
Something happened on that 22.
Something happened.
Keep coming here. There you go.
22 violently turned left right into Danica.
Top is good.
Oh, right front.
Right front. Yeah, I saw it blow the fender up.
I think that was a brake rotor.
Are you saying it was?
Yeah, and that's why it turned left. I think that disintegrated the right front brake rotor right as he went to the brakes. You saw it come through the hood, and what did that do? It just turned the car to the left because all it had was left front brake.
It turned a dead left. I know that. Patrick went for a wild ride and then got, bam, pounded again by Almirola.
Apparently, Gordon hit it spot on, right, Brennan? That was the case. It was the rotor.
The brake rotor, you could see a chunk fly up through the front fender, yeah.
Have you ever seen that happen before? That is bizarre almost, isn't it?
No, we've seen rotors break before and you know, pieces come flying. I think, you know, for it to break at that point of the track and cause that big of an incident might have been a surprise, but we've seen chunks of brake rotor on the track before when, you know, other incidents have occurred and, you know, go back, you know, and see that they ended up, you know, being part of an incident. It's just that one was so odd that it happened that way. I mean, from what I understand, they didn't even use that much brake at that track. And, you know, that's the track, you know, that something like that happens. You know, I don't know. But
yeah, I mean, that's,
you know,
one of the things I was saying, you know, as I led into the program here today. You know, Kansas is not a place you would expect to see a big, enormous wreck like that one. This is just not the place.
And the other part of it is, you know, it happened to Joey Logano. I mean, he's one of the guys that, you know, you want to hate and you want to blame for being an idiot, you know, when he does something on the track, and he really had nothing he could do in this particular case.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's just, you could even kind of hear Danica in one of the interviews where she's like, yeah, really, a brake rotor? That has to happen to me? You know, it's like, I'm like, I'm sure you're going to get to that interview because that interview was just something awful after there. So it was really awkward. And it was like at the very last minute, she realized, oh, wait, by the way, Almirola might be hurt and we're really thinking about him. Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't have sounded more fake.
Christian, your thoughts on this wreck? You're being down on the track as much as you are. You've seen a load of these, I'm sure. Give us your thoughts on this one. I mean, this was pretty spectacular.
I felt really sad for Danica Patrick. I mean, it was so sad for Danica. I hated seeing Danica hit the wall. She was in contention to win. I felt bad for her. And Danica just, I mean, Danica's not had any luck this year. I mean, but she's racing today. Can somebody tell me how that's luck? That's unlucky. Oh, and we got to remember, Regan Smith's going to do great today in the 43 car. But you know, Danica is just, she's going to win today. She's going to win next week. She's going to win the next week after that.
Are we dripping with sarcasm?
You know,
here,
I think
she's going to
win the championship.
What do you think,
yeah,
Brandon?
Think
are
so.
We dripping with sarcasm here?
Oh yeah. Well, that's the way, you know, all her interviews lately have come off is poor me. I'm, you know, I get all the bad luck. I do this, I do that. You know, everybody in the track, including Joey Logano, who most will say, you know, isn't really the most alert guy. They interviewed him. He even brought up Almirola from the beginning and was like, hey, you know, we hope he's okay. That was a bad hit. You know, he even, you know, towed the line. And he's not one of the best guys when they interview in a situation like that. And she was just it's all about me, you know,
yep.
And, you know, everybody's, you know, they still at this point haven't even gotten Almirola out of the car. They're cutting the thing apart, trying to get him out. Everybody's wondering, you know, what's happening here? I mean, you know, you could see he was awake and conscious and talking, but, you know, now you're starting to wonder, does he have a spinal injury? Can he feel his feet? You know, that kind of thing. And it turned out it wasn't like a paralytic, spinal injury, but it still was a spinal injury. I think he's, his long-term prospect, he's going to be okay, but, it's still, I'm sure it's pretty painful. And as Christian pointed out there, he ain't racing this week. Danica is. Matter of fact, I was kind of surprised. She qualified pretty well for the 600.
Yeah, she did.
She's like starting like 15th, I think, if I remember correct. And she's, all the Stewart Haas Fords, they looked good yesterday in the Xfinity race. They had a couple of them in there. And I think they had Kevin Harvick out there and Cole Custer, in the Fords. And Harvick won a stage and was, in contention to win at the end and, got beat by another Ford. So, I think we're going to see a lot of Fords today. I think Ford, that blue oval is going to be, front and center. I know Kyle Busch, pretty much took the end of the All-Star race, but the Fords, they look like they got their, they saved everything for this week, is what it looks like. So we'll see. So Danica, she'll be whining because, oh, I have a Ford and they all beat me.
Oh, jeez.
That'll be your whine this week.
Oh, man. Well, in the past couple of weeks, it just seems like it's gotten, I hate to overuse the word, but the whining from her has just become more and more orchestrated and loud. A couple of weeks ago it was, I don't know if I really want to be doing this any longer. It's not enjoyable. We talked about it a little bit a couple of weeks ago that I think, Brandon, the word you used was that for all intent and purpose, she's basically plateaued. All right, I got it, But look, things could be a heck of a lot worse. She could be a single driver in a one-car shop, begging for sponsorship and starting from the back of the pack every damn week. She's running with Stewart Haas Racing, for God's sake.
The only reason she's running for Stewart Haas Racing is because she's Danica Patrick and she's the novelty female. She can bring sponsor dollars to the table. Let's get it, if it wouldn't have been for her deal with GoDaddy, she would have never got to the Cup, to NASCAR, period. She had GoDaddy on the car and when she was in the Xfinity Series and moved up with GoDaddy, and then, she's managed to have, a couple other ones that have jumped on board,
She was with GoDaddy at Indy.
She was at GoDaddy. She won an IndyCar race. She did well in that series. I'm not sure why. I know why, but she probably would have been better off to just stay in IndyCar. I get it. You can make more money in NASCAR. NASCAR is more marketable than Indy because, Indy is kind of limited in its viewership. I think it's starting to make a comeback. It's just NASCAR's, you probably got the opposite things going on in these two series. IndyCar's probably slowly coming back while NASCAR's still in a decline, to a degree. And,
you gotta wonder whether it one's affecting the other. In other words, is IndyCar coming back up because, in fact, NASCAR's in a bit of a decline?
It could be. I don't know. I think you're seeing it across the board at every sport, and I'm not just going to say motorsports. People are not attending sporting events like they once were. Okay? We see it every week, at NASCAR, with the exception of Talladega this year. I'm very interested to see what the Indianapolis 500 looks like today, because this race has kind of been an exception to the rule because it is the Indy 500. It's got the years and years of tradition, and it's such an event. And, it has the capacity to seat, 300,000 or 400,000 people. So I'm kind of curious to see, I kind of do have pre-race on, and it does look like it's fairly full. There's a lot of people here and there. I want to see what the grandstands look like, when they drop the green flag. And I will be curious to see about Charlotte, because Coca-Cola 600's never been a a hard race for them to fill either. But I will say this. So far, I'm unimpressed because the All-Star race last week had lots of empty seats show up. And Xfinity race yesterday looked pretty poor.
That was bad.
A lot of NASCAR fans, a lot of NASCAR fans would take that week, the week between the All-Star and 600, and make it a vacation week and hang out at Charlotte for the week. So you would see good, you know, the campgrounds would be full. I know for a fact my father's done it in the past. You know, you stay for the whole week. You do the whole deal. You do the All-Star race and stay for the, you know, 600. I'm curious to see how the attendance is for the 600 tonight. I'm real curious. I want to see if it looks like a normal packed house or not.
You know, I was really surprised by the Xfinity race. Because me and my riding friend, we walked to the press box yesterday. And, I mean, you would walk through the concourse, and it was almost about to crowd like a cup race. I mean, there's a lot of people in the concourse. And then to look down in the grandstands, and there was, like, nobody in there. It was like, well, where did everybody go?
Yeah, what do you make of it, Christian? What do you make of that?
Last week's All-Star race had a very good crowd. I will say that. For when you look at the past year's All-Star race, last week's crowd was pretty good. Today's crowd should be pretty good. I mean, there was pretty good attendance in the campgrounds. The Midway was pretty full. Now, there's one thing in the Midway that I do want to point out to everybody that's going to make a trip to race this year. The haulers are back. They're going to be back. I don't know if it's full time, but there is no more Fanatics tent. It is also
right.
Haulers again.
I was thinking I read that that's going to be permanent.
They've got it set up very well right now. So, but the campgrounds are pretty full. I think tonight's going to be a very good race. So I hope everybody, if you haven't gone out and got your tickets yet, come on out, Charlotte Motor Speedway. It's supposed to be some nice weather. It's supposed to be a little bit of rain this afternoon, but that'll cool it down and make it nice weather for the Coke 600.
Well, hey, Christian, I have a question for you regarding that. The campgrounds, you said it looks very well attended. Is this a case where you have some people who show up, you know, for the whole, you know, the whole week or a long weekend to party, and they just don't go to every race? In other words,
yeah,
maybe they'll just go to the 600. They won't go to the Xfinity race and stuff.
Some of the campers that you'll see out, they have TVs. So some of them probably sit at their RVs and watched the Xfinity race yesterday. I mean, I haven't had the opportunity to look at ticket prices yet, so I don't really know what the price for yesterday's Xfinity race was to see it, but. And I had looked at today's tickets, but maybe just sometimes fans want to sit in a comfortable chair and watch the race on TV. I mean,
well, I'll tell you what. I've attended so many races over the years between local dirt track, NASCAR, motorcycle races. You know, I even participated in some of those. But when it comes down to the at-track experience, it seems like people just don't seem to care anymore. Like it doesn't, you know, for me, I like to go to the track. You hit the sounds, you get the smells. I mean, nothing's better than a good, you know, good whiff of race gas, you know, when you get these cars going by. I just don't understand why today's fan would rather go to the track, sit in their camper, and watch it on TV. I just don't get it. I don't get why that's happening, I guess.
Well, you kind of get the atmosphere of the racetrack when you're sitting, because I know the atmosphere at Talladega and the free campgrounds is always very electric. So, I mean, there's some fans that may just want to enjoy that during the race.
Right. Oh, I get you. I've been in the campgrounds at many tracks. Bristol, it's a party. I mean, every place. Richmond, there's always some parties. You know, there's a ton to do. But during the 3 or 4 hours of a race, generally that's where everybody goes, you know, and then you party before, you party after. That's all well and good, but
yeah.
You know, it just seems like everybody's like skipping the whole point of the party. In other words, okay, we'll show up here, but if we actually go to the race, who cares? I don't know. To me, it just seems like, you know, I don't know. Is the product that bad that people just don't want to go? I mean, if I'm at a weekend at a racetrack where there's races, I'm going to the races. I don't care which one it is. You know, I'll go watch qualifying, for crying out loud. I think that's, you know, I love watching the cars, you know, even when they used to do it the old way, one at a time, I'd sit and watch it. I'd sit in the grandstands and watch it. I don't understand why people don't want to see that anymore. I don't know. Maybe it's the novelty's worn off. I don't know.
Yeah, if we could answer this question for sure, we'd make a boatload of money from Monster and from NASCAR, right? If we could figure this problem out, because I mean you're right at the problem that we've been talking about now for the longest time. What is the problem? You know, and they keep tinkering with the product, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better.
Right. Let's just go to your personal experience. You're a relatively, and you've said this a couple of times, newer race fan.
Yes.
You know, and you watched it on TV, and you did this, you know, and we watched NASCAR, we watched a little NHRA, you know, and then you got to go to see them both live, and it's like your jaw dropped because you had that at track experience.
Yes.
Right. And I'm gonna say, you know, Fred House Mike might have been even more impressed with NHRA than NASCAR. And it's just because of the way they handle their business, they make it more accessible for the fan. And I'll be honest with you, a Top Fuel and a funny car is something you need to experience in person to know what it is. I mean, you may think you know what horsepower feels like till you go to an NHRA track. You know, the sound and the pressure. But I don't see why that doesn't intrigue more people when you're there. You know what I mean? I get it. NASCAR is not going to be, you know, NASCAR is not going to be like the NHRA, the chest pounding sound of, but it's still, you know, it's, you still get the sounds and the smells and, you know, burning rubber and all kinds of other stuff. So I don't know. I just don't get today's race fan, I guess. Maybe they're, I don't know. I don't know this is probably the problem you just pointed out that NASCAR and Monster are trying to figure out.
Trying to figure it out. Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, look, you and I both know this. Think about those friends of yours, Brandon, that say to you, oh, I can't get into auto racing. I can't get into that. I'm not into that. Okay. Now, what's their number one reason? What's their number one reason? I can tell you what I hear from friends of mine for why they're not into it. What's the number one reason that people say to you that they're not into racing?
Nah, I don't know, honestly. I don't know what the number one reason is.
When somebody says to you, I can't get into that, normally what is the reason that they give that follows?
Well, they probably find it boring.
Exactly. Exactly.
Watching the cars go around. Yeah.
Exactly. That is the number one reason.
Because they don't understand. But they don't understand, though. That's, you know, if you don't understand what you're looking at, in other words, the whole process, the whole point of what they're doing, you know, a points championship, you know, now we have stages, which, you know, you pointed out earlier that NASCAR not necessarily didn't do the greatest job explaining when they came on live with, you know. I can understand a non-race fan. See, this is the problem. Most race fans don't become race fans till they go to a live race, as a general rule. It's hard. I could see it being hard to get into on television. But when you go to, even if it's your local dirt track, and you go to watch a race, and that's usually when your race fan will get hooked. You know, you'll find a car you like, whether you like the driver, the color of the car, the number, you know, whatever, you'll find something to latch on to. And if you start rooting for anything, that's when you're hooked. You know, if you're rooting for this guy and your guy, you know, passes four cars during the one race you watch, you know, you're going to be, you know, rooting and screaming and cheering. That's usually when you get a race fan. And most race fans, you're not going to pick up from television. You know what I mean? It generally starts from being at a race. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of people, you know, who you ask aren't into it. They just never been to one. They never, you know, not everybody's into cars, you know, in general. And, you know, some people look at cars as that's just the way I get to work and back, you know, that kind of thing. They don't necessarily look at it from the performance side or competition side, you know, things, you know. So it's tough to get you know, somebody like that interested in motorsports. I'm not saying you, it's just like any other sport. Not everybody watches everything, you know? I mean, I don't particularly watch a lot of baseball. I mean, I don't miss an NFL football game, but, you know, I can take or leave some of the other stick and ball sports, as they call them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just, yeah, if it's on, I'll watch it. If it's something
you're going right,
big, I'm going to watch it.
You're going right to where I was going with this. I think the number one killer of sports, the number one killer of sports is, for want of a better word, boredom. The audiences are completely different today. You know, turn the clock back 100 years ago, baseball was not boring. Those people thought baseball was exciting. But in today's world, baseball is boring, and that's what's killing baseball. That's why you're seeing things like pace of play and things like that and all these different, you know, oh, we got to speed the game up. See, you know, so boredom. Go to hockey. It's boredom. People are bored with it. I don't understand it. All right? So because I don't understand the game of hockey, I find it boring. All right? It goes to exactly what you're talking about with racing. If people don't understand it, then they're going to tune out. All right, that falls into the concept of boredom. All right, professional basketball, I find it boring. I find it boring. I really do. I like college basketball because I don't find that boring. That's a team sport. The way they play it in the NBA, no, it's not a team sport. So therefore, I find it boring. Boredom will kill a sport. I really believe that. And I believe that that's probably what's killing racing, particularly NASCAR. I think people are finding it boring, and that is why we're looking at things like stage racing and, hey, we got to break it up because fans' attention is only so long. That's it. There it is. We got to break it up into pieces.
Well, you know what? You got to give them credit for trying something.
I agree. I agree.
You know,
whether it's perfect
problem,
or not, you're
can
right.
I tell you what? Can I tell you what the problem I think is going to be with this? They've tried for years to add intrigue and drama to the playoffs. You know, they had the chase, they had the cutdowns, and now they've added, you know, stages where you can earn points for the playoffs. Playoffs. I think they're almost making it too confusing for the average race fan who just wants to watch cars go around the track fast and whoever gets there first wins, you know? I think they're almost trying too hard to complicate things. And the part of the biggest part NASCAR has to overcome is their playoffs start right at the time football starts. And you're going to lose any casual fan you had, you know, that was watching your NASCAR races on Sunday to football. Even your diehard race fans are going to pay attention to football if their team's on over their race for the most part.
Yep.
I hate to say it, you know, it's just the way the seasons align, and it does not align in a good way for NASCAR. So, you know, I think NASCAR needs to, I don't know what they need to do. I don't know if going back to a simpler system is better or not, you know. I mean, it worked for years the old way, you know.
Well,
yeah.
You know, that's
you know,
what you
it
hear.
It does get
from
boring
the...
if you have a winner, you know, with four races to go and nobody can catch them. I get that. But, you know, if you're trying to force drama to create a storyline, you're bordered on WWE territory there.
Yep, exactly. Christian, real quick, are they making it too complicated?
I don't think they're making it too complicated. And my mom just pointed it out. It's the fact that maybe there's too many sports going on at once.
That's
I mean,
a good
you've got to think about these fans. Have got to pick from the NHL playoffs, which starts tomorrow, and go Nashville Predators. They've got to pick between the NHL playoffs, the basketball playoffs, and all these playoffs, and they all run in the same time as NASCAR and IndyCar. And so you know, I don't think people – it doesn't appeal to people going around in circles as much as it would to play basketball or something like that. I mean, we used to have the appeal. And I don't think it's that we've gotten too complicated. I think – and this is my opinion, and I know last night I went to Bowman Gray to see the short track up in Bowman Gray in Winston-Salem. And I noticed last night you had a lot of fans that had they were cheering for a weekly driver or somebody that races there every week. And that's something you don't see in NASCAR anymore. Or you do, but it's not like they're not as diehard as some of these people. Because some of these people, if their favorite driver got wrecked, they were going to go beat whoever wrecked them. And I thought that was pretty exciting. And the atmosphere of that was different. And I think NASCAR... And this is what me and one of the writer friends, that I went to see it last night with, pointed out, is the fact that maybe we've been watching a show for too long. You know, we're trying too hard to be a show. We're trying too hard to be a ball and stick sport. And we've lost that touch of racing. And last night I noticed we watched racing, and there was racing. We have racing in NASCAR, but we've got a lot of gimmicks. And there's almost too many gimmicks. Last night there was only one gimmick that they pointed out that I really liked, and they used it in one of the late model races, was the orange cone rule. After every caution, they would set out an orange cone at the start-finish line, and a driver could pick whether they wanted to start on the inside or the outside, which the inside was the preferred line of Bowman Gray. But you'd have these drivers that were in the back of the pack starting the outside, and they'd suddenly be in second and third, and it'd be like, okay, well, it gives everybody a chance to try. And I think NASCAR has kind of made it to where they've catered to this exact group of people, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And you will go to these short tracks, and it's like we don't cater to anybody. Everybody has a chance.
We've kind of lost our roots, Phil. We used to be NASCAR. NASCAR used to be NASCAR. Now NASCAR is trying to be ball and stick sport. We've got the playoffs now. Okay, we didn't have playoffs. You raced until the Homestead to decide the champion. Yeah, true, the champion was decided before Homestead most of the time. But we're trying too hard to appeal to the fans that are watching other sports, and that's how we're losing the fans that watch our sport. And
no, Kristen, you know, you have a really good point there, because how many short tracks live throughout this country, you know, on basically the old style of, you know, a point system where you run every week and whoever has the most at the end wins. And they survive. I mean, these tracks, they don't have...
There was a big crowd outside of Bowman Gray.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of local tracks around, you know, that you know, have survived for many, many years, you know, and fans just showing up to the race, rooting on their favorite guy, you know? NASCAR is getting away from the roots, that's for sure. Christian has a great point there. They are trying to be something different from what, you know, let's face it, without the roots of racing, you're not going to have stars. They got to come from somewhere. You know what I mean?
The beginning of the box.
Yeah, my mom just pointed out that we're trying too hard to get into the box instead of thinking outside the box.
That's a good point.
Yep. Of course, you know, I don't know. I mean, I kind of go back and forth on this because, you know, that's the argument that we have heard from the, I guess, traditionalists, you know, for the longest time now. You know, don't mess with the sport. You leave it alone. You know, they've tinkered with it too many times. It's not our sport anymore. You know, these are the kinds of things you hear from the traditionalists. It seems to me, and, you know, yet, you know, here's where I go back and forth on it. You know, Brandon, you and I have talked about it. Sidekick, we've talked about it right here on this airway. There's something about what NASCAR has done that we like. I mean, we enjoy the playoffs. We didn't mind it. Well, you know, we've talked about it before. How do you accomplish both? That's the problem.
Well, you know, it's funny that we're talking about this because, you know, right now they're doing pre-race activities for the Indy 500. Indy racing, I don't have a dramatic difference from any other. I think it's a cumulative points, and whoever has the most at the end wins. And if it happens before the last race, so be it.
Yes, right.
You know, so you know that you don't see IndyCar trying to reinvent the wheel. They're trying to stay true to, you know. I know if you go to motorsports on a world stage, where believe it or not, you'll see 80, 90, 100,000 people show up for a MotoGP motorcycle race. They don't play any games with points. Points are points. You can earn 25 to win the race, and they go down from there, and whoever has the most at the end wins. Formula One's the same way. They don't have a quote-unquote playoff system, and they have hundreds of thousands of people show up at some of their races. You know, and this is all over the world, too. I'm not just talking, you know, you could be in any country, you know, Italy, the UK, United Kingdom, Russia. They draw huge numbers of people to motorsporting events. You know, and here in the United States, we got Indy, who's still trying to stay true to that, and NASCAR, who's all over the board. Every year, it's something different, or we'll add a new wrinkle. You know, I don't know. I don't know if that's good or bad, you know, if you look at it from that point of view.
Yep. I got you. Did you want to throw anything else in there, Christian?
That's about all I've got to say on that one. I mean,
okay.
I'll have an article out this week. I mean, I've already talked about doing an article with my friend that me and him went to the race last night, but so, I mean, I guess tune in Off Pit Road later this week to read the article.
Good. Well, I'll be curious to read that one. Real quick, let me get back to this. Cause I promised we would have the audio. I guess what we would call the post-rec interviews. Just to give you a taste of the difference, the dichotomy here between Joey Logano and Danica Patrick. First is Logano's post-rec interview, and then that's followed by Danica's. And I think you'll see why so many of us were squirming when Danica came on. This one is Joey Logano.
Yeah, I'm okay. Just saying prayers for Eric right now. It's a lot of us took a hard hit, and something broke in my car. I don't know what it was. I noticed it as I was going in and tried to back off, but you're going 215, and it's hard to check up. And the car just took a big step sideways into the corner and hooked Danica. And I haven't seen a replay yet. I don't know what happened, but I guess here it is now. But you can see the right front pops or something right there, and then it took a hard left. And I just hope everyone's okay. I hope Eric's all right. It's the last thing you want to see is a big hit like that from anyone. So it's unfortunate for everybody. Just hope Eric's all right.
Joey, did you have any indication was anything happening with just the handling of your car leading up to that point?
Out of nowhere. Just, oh my God. Just out of nowhere. Everything was fine, and then it just took a hard one. Ooh. Yeah, I'm going to pray for Eric right now.
Have you had a chance to talk to Danica at all?
Yeah, we rode back in the car, in the ambulance together, and we just, you know, I can just tell her something broke. I hate that I'm in the part of it, the start of it. There's nothing I could have done. I don't know what happened, but like I said, something broke and just tore up a lot of really good cars.
You could hear in that he was actually seeing the footage of the wreck itself. That would have been the first time he was seeing it, which is why occasionally you heard Logano stopping and, of course, you know, we talk about Logano's awkwardness in his own interviews. The nervous laugh always gets on my nerves. the but just again, as a comparison, this was Danica then.
You're feeling okay, are you?
No, I'm not at all. I feel absolutely horrible. I just don't understand, I think. I just don't understand why so much bad luck happens. But besides that, I actually feel physically fine, and I was over there showing the doctor that my sprained ankle was just fine. And the laughter is merely just, what can I do but laugh about it? Like, a rotor? On a track we're braking with 200 pounds of brake pressure, 300 pounds of brake pressure? I mean, why? What else can I say? On the other hand, I was having a really good night, and that's what makes me the most mad, is that every time I'm doing better, something stupid happens, and it's just killing me. Like, I don't know any other way to say it. Kind of felt like Wonder Woman, though, at least tonight for a little while.
Well, you definitely looked like it, running top 10 there for a while, and you had to ride in the ambulance next to Joey. I know you hadn't seen the replays by that point, but what did you say to him?
Oh, well, I got out of the car, and I walked that direction, but I'm careful to not walk towards the track because I have been fined for that before. So I walked towards that direction, and when I saw him, I said, I'm not sure if it was you, but I'm pretty, you know, figure, you know, use imagination of what words I use, pretty sure it was you. And then he said it was a failure of some sort, which didn't really make me feel any better in that moment, but it was him, so I was at least right. At least in the medical center, they can know neurologically and cognitively that I'm doing just fine. They asked me what day it was tomorrow, and I was smart. I said Mother's Day.
Smart. I'm glad that you're okay, and Joey was concerned about your health and your well-being.
Well, I hope Eric's okay. He's definitely feeling the worst of everybody, and so, you know, this is NASCAR does everything they can to make our cars as safe as possible, but, you know, that's things happen, and his car looked the least damaged of all of ours, to be honest. And you know, that's kind of what I said at the end before I walked out, is I'm like, one of these times these accidents aren't going to go good for me. They are all big, and I've been very fortunate so far, but one of these times it's not going to go well.
Thank you, Danica, and we're waiting some word on Eric Almirola, Mike. As soon as we get it, we will get it to you guys.
I don't know what else to say except SMDH. Shake of a damn head, honest to God. The more I hear it, the more annoyed I get. There were so many things that she said in there that just kind of, I don't know, careless. I mean, positively careless. Something stupid happened. I remember hearing her say that live, and that's when I cringed. I actually made a face 2 weeks ago when we were watching it, and she, you know, the phrase came out of her mouth, every time things seem to be going right, then something stupid happens. Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think Eric Almirola thought that this was stupid. You know what I mean?
No.
I mean, and that's exactly the way I was looking at it at the moment that she said it. And that's what made me cringe. Something stupid happens. And then, you know, her going on too, then right there at the end that, one of these times things are going to go bad for me. You know, you weren't the one that was cut out of the roof of your car. And, you know, as she's saying this, you know, that was the crazy part, Brandon. You might remember as she's going on and saying all this, the camera's cutting away and showing us what's going on the track. And they still didn't have Almirola. They didn't have Almirola out of the car yet. Oh,
if you
man
look at
alive.
The, listen to the tone of both those interviews. You know, Logano, you know, they asked him how he was. He's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm worried about Eric. You know, I mean, he's talking about the moment. You know what I mean? You know, all that other crap that, you know, happens in an accident when somebody's still hurt in a car, most drivers take the tack that Joey Logano did. It's like, yeah, all right, it happened, whatever. I hope Eric's okay. You know what I mean? Where Danica, it's all about her. It always happens to me. It's all about me. You know, I might get hurt one day. Oh, my God. You know, they're still getting this other guy out of the car. Shut your mouth. You know what I mean? It's just insensitive and arrogant.
Yep.
And, you know, she comes off not, you know, really poor in that interview. And Joey Logano, who generally comes off poor in every interview he does, I think came off great. And I'm giving the guy credit, you know, for Joey, that's as good of a you know, interview you're getting out of Logano at that time. You know, I mean, hey, you know, I give him props. For once, he wasn't, you know, laughing and joking and, you know, being his doofus-looking self. You know, I'll give him credit. You know, I don't like Joey Logano. He's not one of my favorites. But I like the way he handled himself in that interview, and Danica handled herself poorly. I mean, from a PR standpoint, I'm surprised she's not taking more grief.
Yeah.
You know? She came off very cold, you know, barely even mentioned him, and goes right to, oh, well, NASCAR does everything they can to make the car safe. Really? You're going to spew that line while they're still cutting him out of the car? Seriously? You didn't say once you hope he's okay, you know? Yeah, I don't know. You're sitting there, yeah. And she even had the nerve to go to say, oh, well, his car looks the least damaged of all of us.
I don't get it.
Seriously?
I know.
Who gives a shit what the car looks like? The guy's still in the car getting cut out of it. Seriously, woman. I'm sorry. That frustrates me. Hey, when that last time I crashed, there was a scrape on the tailpipe of my motorcycle. You know, I had broken collarbones and you know, swollen spinal cords. I don't care what the bike looks like, what the car looks like. It doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't have to look horrible. Matter of fact, if the car's all mangled up and chewed up, it did its job. It took the brunt. It took all the energy of the impact. That's what it's supposed to do, you know? I don't want to hear, you know, his car look the least of us. They're still cutting him out of it, for crying out loud. Are you not paying attention to the world around you? Even the woman interviewing her, you could tell
by
the tone of her
exactly.
voice. She had enough. She's like, she was trying to bring it back to the, you know, the what's going on at the track with them trying to, you know, get him out of the car. You know, she had enough of that at the end. You could tell she didn't want to talk to her no more, you know? Like, all right, I've had enough of this. This is not right here, you know?
Yeah,
she didn't like the tone of it.
Definitely not professional, for sure.
The drivers come when somebody's hurt, whether it's your worst enemy on the track or whatever. We're all competitors, and we all want to walk away at the end of the day healthy. That's, you know, when you do this kind of thing, that should be the tone. You know, you band together when somebody's down or somebody's hurt and you don't know what's going on. And Danica didn't do that. She didn't do that at all. She had a whine about every little thing that's been going wrong for her all year. You know, that's not the place, time and place to do that, you know. And I hope somebody pulls her aside, somebody like, one of her teammates, like Clint Bowyer or, you know, Harvick, and say, hey, you can't say that. You know what I mean? Whether you feel that or not at that time, that's not the time or the place to do that kind of thing.
You know, she's not a rookie.
No,
nobody
no,
should
that's
have
true.
To say that to him. Nobody.
You're
should
right.
Have to
you're
say
right.
That, you know.
No, you're right. I agree with you. I agree with you, but you know, she did. So somebody's got to point it out to her.
I hear
clearly
you.
she needs to be hit over the head with a, you know, a 2x4 here to get it through her head that, you know, that's not the time or place to do this. Yeah, that's why you were sitting in your chair cringing, and that's why I was kind of like, is this really happening? I mean, I'm like, that interview was odd live, you know, because, you know, even you know, that's not the time or the place for that. You know, that's when you...
It was uncomfortable. It was flat out uncomfortable.
Yes, that's where you say different things. You're not going to point out, you know, you could be mad as hell at Joey Logano, even though clearly he had nothing to do with it. It was a parts failure. You know, you can't help that. That's going to happen when you're driving at 215 miles an hour on a mile and a half racetrack and something breaks, you know, that's going to happen. Okay. You know, nothing's perfect. No piece of equipment's perfect, unfortunately. And, you know, she could be mad, you know, at him or she could, but you don't, that's not the time and the place for it when they're still cutting somebody else out of the race car who was involved in that incident. And that's why it was uncomfortable.
Yep. Oh, gosh. Well, hopefully, you know, a little less drama from this point forward from Miss Patrick, huh? Hopefully.
I have a feeling that this is going to be Miss Patrick's last season in Cup.
So do I.
That's just my opinion. Yep. Whether it's her doing or somebody else's doing, I have a feeling she's going to retire from racing and go make babies.
I agree with you. I just think that
her time has come. We might see, two races this year with Nature's Garden on it. And from what I understand, the settlement involved two races for her, and Nature's Garden is going to be on two for Clint Bowyer's
car. Clint Bowyer. Yep.
And I'm sure they're still writing a pretty big check to Stuart Haas. So, but I don't know if we're going to see her pass this season. I think her time in NASCAR is going to come to an end, and she's going to go on to other things. She's not very good on TV. I mean, I've heard her try to do the TV broadcast. She's not very fluent in her speak. So I think we may just see her fade into the background. Maybe, her and Ricky will get married and have a flock of babies. Well, she'll be like the new Dalena Harvick. Moving forward, I don't know. I am being a little sarcastic there, but I don't know what her plans are. But I think her time in NASCAR, it's certainly plateaued, and I don't think it's going to, you're going to see a dramatic. She's going to, she's a top 10 finisher once a year at best, essentially. She gets lucky enough to get a top 10 once a year for the most part. She's never going to be a front running car. She's, maybe she's jinxed, as she said. She just has bad luck. Stupid things happen to her, as she says. Yeah, okay. You need to overcome that. You need to not be in that position to let that stupid thing affect you. That's all part of racing, Anyway, sorry, I'll end my rant now. Since Sidekick isn't here, I'll be the one hammering on Danica today.
I might just have to leave. I might just have to keep Danica's interview on the board here for a week and get
Sidekick on that next week.
Get Sidekick's impression on it next week, yeah. Because I really want to hear
it. I'm getting the impression, I tried to reach out to Sidekick, I'm getting the impression he's in an area where he has no service. So that's probably why we're not going to hear from him.
He probably did it on purpose. That would be my guess. He did it on purpose.
Well, I know he's been having a lot of trouble at work and stuff, and it looked like him and his fiance decided to hop on the bike and go to the Pocono Mountains for a weekend, and I don't know that he really thought it out. It was probably a spur-of-the-moment thing, and he may not have service where he is or whatever, but I think Sidekick's been having a lot of problems, work related stuff, and he probably needed some time off. So,
yep.
That's why we're not hearing from Mr. Sidekick today, I think.
Before we get into chatting about winners and what have you for Charlotte, I did want to touch on this one real quick. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it. Carl Long had not run in cup racing for, I want to say, 8 years. I think it was 8 years. Yeah, last 2 weeks ago was his first race in 8 years at Kansas.
Yep.
So he comes in to Kansas.
Yeah, well, let's give a little background to why.
Go ahead.
He was fined $200,000 for having an oversized engine in an all-star race, prelim all-star race in Charlotte 9 years ago. And he was a low-budget team and could never pay the fine. And per NASCAR rules, until all your fines are paid, you cannot compete in that series. That's why he's been allowed to compete in the Trucks and Xfinity series, but not at the cup level.
I did not know this.
So I don't know if NASCAR cut him a break finally, or if finally he found the way to come up with the 200 grand, but that's why we have not seen Carl Long be the back marker in NASCAR for 9 years. It's because he owed them $200,000 for a violation. So anyway, go ahead. Now you can continue your story, because I have an opinion on your story too.
Well, now, So in fact, you're saying he was able to make the he was able to pay the back amount, and that's why he was able.
I don't know. All NASCAR said was all of his requirements have been met to compete at the Sprint Car Series level. They have not confirmed or denied if he paid the fine, or they cut a deal or a break or what.
Okay,
but that's all they said, that he has fulfilled all the requirements to compete. So we have to take that as what it worth.
So he shows up ultimately now, as you pointed out, driving the number 66 car 2 weeks ago at Kansas. And it is decked out, front hood sponsorship, decked out for a Colorado-based marijuana vaping company. I believe the big logo, I'm almost positive. I think I saw pictures of it. I was trying to find pictures of it again, but I can't seem to put my finger on them. I believe the logo was a big picture of a cannabis leaf. And NASCAR stepped in and said, no, 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 get that off the car. Now, you know, we've talked about this before. I've kind of lightened up a little bit with regard to my attitude about specifically about marijuana. But in NASCAR, as we've talked about before, a sport that is so heavily reliant upon sponsors and losing sponsors as they are, does this kind of thing make any sense at all? Seriously?
I call it hypocritical because for years their title sponsor was Winston, which was a cigarette company. They've for years had beer sponsors and they wouldn't let hard liquor companies in. Then they finally relaxed that and allowed the hard liquors to be sponsors. So now you're going to take another legalized recreational, you know, in the same vein as what you've made your money on off all the years, and you're going to say no. You're a hypocrite.
Well, you got to think about it. The marijuana is not legal in the city or the state of Kansas.
I understand that, but the company is based in Colorado, where it is legal. Why can they not advertise their legal business in your sport, but yet, you know, it's not an illegal business. And let's face it, it's coming. It's going to be legal everywhere at some point, sometime. It's going to happen. Too many states are switching on this. You know, Colorado's already said they've made $1 billion of revenue from this the first year of it being legalized. And they have no problems now keeping all their schools open and funding all their education. And, you know, this is going to solve a lot of problems for a lot of states who are having issues, you know, with public school education. You don't think others are going to jump on board with this? I mean, NASCAR, you don't need to be behind the times yet again, NASCAR. I mean, that's just my opinion. They need to think outside the box a little and see the future.
Oh, there you go again. Here we go with the, you know, thinking outside the box sort of thing. Christian, what are your thoughts on it?
And one of the coolest things, and I'm good friends with Carl Long and that whole team, one of the coolest things about the sponsor, though, is the fact that they were told they weren't able. And the big reason why NASCAR approved it. Now, one thing with sponsors and everything is that the teams have to go through NASCAR first to get that sponsor approved. Well, Carl Long, according to what I think I read, Carl Long, apparently somebody in the program misspelled it. So it did not pop up as actually what was on the car. So NASCAR approved it. And then NASCAR told them they could have it on the car. Okay, well, it's understandable. I mean, I understand in the aspect that it is not legal in the state of Kansas. I understand that. And it would be kind of weird to promote something that's illegal in the state and then people get arrested for it in the same state. I mean, that's my opinion on that. But the coolest thing about the sponsor, which I think was Weedworks or something like that, it was the fact that they were told they weren't supposed to be on the car or weren't able to be on the car, and the sponsor kept putting in money to the team, though.
Oh, wow.
That was the coolest aspect, was the fact that the sponsor stayed loyal even though they weren't on the car.
Wow, that's
pretty
cool.
That's good PR. That's good PR for that company, though.
You know,
and you also got to think about the amount of promotion they've got for not even being on a cup car.
Yeah, but,
good point.
You know, I didn't know that, though, until you pointed it out, though. I didn't know that until you pointed it out that they still supported the car. I, that's a good thing. I like that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Talk about the difference, because we were just mentioning Nature's Bakery, right? You know,
right.
Look at the difference between these two. Go ahead, Brady.
I was just going to ask, since you seem to be friends with Carl, how did he resolve that? Did he pay the $200,000 or did they work out a deal? Do you know?
I think they may have worked out a deal. I did not really hear the exact reasoning and everything behind it, but I think they worked out a deal. I mean, Carl is one of those guys that has been in the sport forever.
I felt bad for him.
The deal that why he got suspended to begin with was a big problem.
Yeah, but it happened in a non-points race. You know,
happened in the Coke 600.
I thought it was during the pre-run for the All-Star race, like the preliminary race.
It was the Coke 600.
Oh, was it? Okay. All right.
Yes. But the big thing that I see with Carl Long, and this is the thing that I've been talking about all week with Carl Long, speaking of Carl Long, the feeling that they're starting to let these people in here that's been suspended. Okay, so I think it's almost time that we start letting Jeremy Mayfield back into NASCAR. The guy is racing in late models everywhere. He's getting back into racing, and he was a very good racer when he was racing. I mean, the guy beat Dale Earnhardt at Pocono.
I think Jeremy Mayfield, though, done himself a bit of a disservice, though, the way he handled himself during all that. He almost made it impossible for NASCAR to allow him back.
In my opinion, the past is in the past.
No, I hear you.
And that's my opinion, is that I feel that Jeremy Mayfield has learned his lesson. I mean, and like I said, that's why he's going back into late models. Because if you start getting into racing, maybe there's a chance NASCAR will go, well, he's trying. He's trying to clean it up. And that's how I feel like what Carl Long's done. Carl Long's done a lot for NASCAR. He's done a lot of promoting. But I think we need to start looking at drivers like that. We need to look at people like Josh White, who got suspended last year being involved in the drug trade in Canada. But I think we need to look at a couple of the ones that are suspended from NASCAR and start thinking, hey, these drivers help make the sport better. I mean, Jeremy Mayfield was very popular in the day, so could he make it popular again? I mean,
I don't know if anybody would take a risk on him, though. I'll be honest with you.
I'll tell you what. I just made a note here, and I'm going to put that on the agenda for next week. We'll bring up Jeremy Mayfield. We'll talk about it. You know, at length next week, because I actually did read a couple of articles just this week about Mayfield, believe it or not. So suddenly this guy's name seems to be popping up in the media all of a sudden. So let me put it on the agenda for next week, because otherwise we're going to run out of time here real quick. Let me just get everybody's thoughts on who they think might win this today. I don't have Sidekicks pick, but NASCAR John is going with Kevin Harvick. Loyal listener Liz is going with Ryan Blaney. Brandon, who do you got today?
I got Kevin Harvick as well. I think you're going to see a lot of Stewart Haas Fords in the front of this race today.
And
with the
Christian.
Exception of Danica. So something stupid will happen to Danica.
Something stupid.
I kind of changed my pick from yesterday because on Facebook I went through it and picked the triple, and I already got the first race wrong. So I kind of gone through and changed my Coke 600 prediction, but I'm really feeling tonight, and I'm going to agree with everybody that's saying Stewart Haas Racing, but I'm going to go with Clint Bowyer. I'm going to go with Clint Bowyer to win the Coca-Cola 600 tonight.
Gotcha.
He probably would be my second choice, too. I looked at him hard. He's just been running – really good lately, and this is the kind of race you might just
see. I'm
going to
pick Eric Jones this week. I'm done picking Eric Jones this year.
I was going to say no Eric Jones. Okay. All right. I'm sticking with my pick from 2 weeks ago. I'm sticking with my Toyotas. JGR's got to get a win one of these times. I'm going with Kyle Busch. All right, there you go. Hopefully we'll hear from Sidekick, and we'll get his pick before race time at 6 o'clock.
I did attempt to get at least his pick, and it did not.
Yep.
That's why I think he's in communicado. He usually answers, you know what I mean?
Gotcha. All right, Christian, thank you very much. We'll
no
get
problem.
You back in here. Reminders, everybody, please, Thursday night, Frat House Sports Show, right here, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, our flagship program. Make sure you're here with us. And then next Saturday afternoon, I'll be here at 2 p.m. for another relaxed frat house Saturday. All right, there you go. That's our program for today. Get out there. Hey, enjoy your racing. Plenty of it today. Starting right now, got the Indy, then followed by the Coca-Cola 600. Enjoy it all.
Yeah.